for your souls. Because he brought them out of Egypt, which is bondage, which is religion, and he brought them into his own land, which is kingdom, which has 613 commandments, most of which don't even apply to you, whoever you are, unless you're a priest.
See, this is what Paul says in Romans, I think it's chapter 3. He says, how will I know what sin is? The law shows me what sin is.
Yes.
So because one thing, I grew up in a Christian church, in a Protestant church, and everything was a sin. Drinking alcohol was a sin, and that's a sin, and this is a sin, and smoking is a sin. And I'm so grateful for my father telling me behind the scenes, you know what? It's not smoking that's a sin. You know what's a sin? The old ladies that gossip and slander each other the whole time.
Yeah.
So there's a distinction. Now, in church, you got traditions. Every church has a tradition of what they say.
Well, and Jews too. Judaism.
And Islam.
Yeah, and Islam. They have their culture and their traditions.
In fact, in Judaism, it's so bad that each rabbi of each synagogue tells his congregation what sin is.
Yeah, exactly.
But now, the Bible just tells us plainly what... Sure, I mean, it's a few chapters, it's a few hours of reading, if you read it slowly. This is what God regards as sin.
Yeah.
And then in the New Testament, they expand on it.
Yes.
Not giving anything new, but explaining to you what God...
Right.
Because the moral laws,
technically. Yeah.
So the moral laws are sins, and then there's some requirements of loving your neighbor. It spells it out. Yeah. It's simple. So now I know life is easy because God loves me. And you know what? If I break a commandment, have an adversary, what do you call it?
A mediator.
A mediator.
But I know what he expects of me because of the law. But Jeremiah 6:16 goes on to say, but they said they will not walk in it. They said, we will not walk in it. And that's why Yahweh cut them off. 12 tribes cut off at his death. When he resurrected, he came back with all 12 tribes and with the law.
Right. So wouldn't you say that because they didn't obey the first great commandment that they love God with all their heart, soul, and mind,
yes,
and they didn't love their neighbor, that brought the consequences that they paid for in the exile. They didn't never learn how to love their neighbor, because when you look at what Yeshua said to them, defining who my neighbor is, and he explained to them, the good Samaritan was the one that loved his neighbor who didn't even know him.
Right.
And yet the Pharisees and the religious people walked right by him, and they were very afraid of getting, this is back to the Torah portion, they were very afraid of being unclean so they couldn't go in front of the temple. And there comes a time where we say, okay, it doesn't matter if I go to the church or go to this place and I'm dirty because I had to change somebody's flat tire.
Yeah.
We have to go back and say, well, did I show love to that person when I drove by him when he had a flat tire and I could have helped him?
Right.
Or do we help him?
Right.
Do we leave somebody stranded on the side of the street and we could have stopped and asked them if they needed help and take them to where they needed to be taken to?
Yeah.
So this shows the second part of that, what Yeshua is saying, there's two, and it's tied up in this, that you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Because if we're not doing those two things, then what's the point?
Well, no. Okay, but we have to clarify, because people have this idea that love is a feeling.
Right.
Love is not a feeling.
Actually,
love is a doing.
Yes.
Right, love is doing. So, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul is to do his commandments.
I would like to read that in Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40. But hearing that he had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees were gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Yeshua said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Yes, and in Deuteronomy 6:25 it says, it, the law, shall be righteousness to us if we observe to do all this commandment before Yahweh our God as he has commanded us. And in Deuteronomy 4:6, keep therefore and do them, the commandments, For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
On that note, I want to take us to James 3, 13 to 18. The title is Wisdom from Above.
Yeah.
Who is wise and knowing among you? Let him show his works by his good conduct with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and strife in your hearts, do not glory and lie against the truth. This is not the wisdom coming down from above, but the earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife are, there is confusion and every foul deed. But the wisdom that is from above is first truly pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And I want to take this, you said the wisdom from above. I want to take us to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Jehovah commanded us to do all these statutes. Now, just to make clarity here, the book of Deuteronomy is written in one day. Moses was speaking to the nation of Israel, getting ready to go into the land. And he started to tell them, I'm telling you things this day that you have to keep. And he started in his water history, and he spoke about the images. Mm-hmm. And in chapter 6, he said the following, and Jehovah commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Jehovah our God. I think Yeshua mentioned about, why do you fear not? You should fear God, who can throw your soul into Hades.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To fear Jehovah our God, for our good always, so that he might preserve us alive as it is today. And if we are careful to do all these commandments before Jehovah our God, as he has commanded us, it shall be our righteousness.
Yes.
So, Paul mentions righteousness several times in the book of Romans. He quotes, and some time ago, 2 years ago, I did a teaching on the book of the covenant and book of the law. And I had to go very carefully through Romans, because then he says keep the law, then he says don't keep the law, then he says keep the law. But he also, always when he said keep the law, he mentioned righteousness, the law of righteousness.
Yes.
Now, Paul never spoke new things.
Right.
He always referenced back to the Torah, trying to explain to us laws of liberty,
right.
The moral laws. And the biggest concern or issue Paul had was those of the circumcision, which is the Jews with all their Jewish traditions, which Paul was part of. If you go and read through the book of Acts, Paul spelled it out, I'm a Jew, I keep the oral traditions,
yeah.
And I don't break any of them.
Right.
But now we had the Gentiles coming in, and Paul said that the Jewish traditions is a burden, not even our fathers could keep them.
Right. But how do we know that Paul was saying that? It's because we now understand by going through the Greek codexes and reading the Greek that because there's only one word for law in Greek and it's nomos, that wherever he said nomos, law by itself, he was speaking of the Talmud, the oral law. And when he said the law, he was speaking of the Torah, the commandments. We know this because of how he speaks about law and how he speaks about the law. And anybody can get an ABP plus and can go through and see where he speaks like this. The problem is in the translations. The translators put the word the in front of every word where it says law. But the does not come, that definite article is not in front of many, 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 many of the word law in those places. So Paul went to extraordinary effort to make the distinction between the oral law and the Torah. So when he's speaking positively, he's speaking of the Torah. And when he's speaking negatively, he's speaking of the oral law. And he's trying to keep the Gentiles from coming into religion. And he's trying to get the Jews to come out of religion and just go into the kingdom. and keep the Torah law. That's his method of doing that. The other apostles did not write in that matter. Luke didn't. Peter didn't, you know. But we have a prophecy for the end of days. In Jeremiah 16, where he's talking about how we're going to come back, and you know, we're going to have an exodus that's so much greater than the first exodus. We call it the ingathering. He's where he's going to gather us. He says, at the end of days, people will do this. Yahweh, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge in the day of affliction, that's the tribulation, the nations will come to you from the ends of the earth and will say, our fathers have inherited nothing but lies, vanity, and things in which there is no profit. That's the religious stuff.
Now that you're on that subject, let's go and look about the importance of keeping the commandments again. And I'm saying again, because our forefathers in the Christian church, God was angry at them, so he removed them from his commandments completely. But first of all, let's go to Galatians 3 again.
Okay. Galatians 3.
I'll take you the last two verses, verse 28 and 29. Okay, let's go to 3:26.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to go through the whole Galatians chapter 3, but
we should.
Yeah, but we can go afterwards if you want.
Yeah.
But in the end here, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. There cannot be a Jew or a Greek. There's neither a bond nor a free. There is no male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, God made a covenant with Abraham, and that covenant went to Isaac and went to Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So that covenant went to Israel 12 tribes.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are here 1,500 years later, 1,000 years later, more or less. And Paul is telling us that now only those believing in Yeshua is part of that covenant of Abraham. If you don't believe in Yeshua,
right, exactly,
you're not that people.
I'm glad we're in Galatians, because in chapter 4 at verse, chapter 4 at verse 21 is a great example of what I'm talking about, what Paul did in Galatians 4. This causes confusion in the way that it was translated. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, don't you listen to the law? What? That doesn't even make sense. But if you go into the Greek codex and you look at it, what it says is, tell me, you that desire to be under nomos, don't you listen to ho nomos? Those that desire to be under Talmud or oral law, don't you listen to the Torah? This whole book, when he starts out, he's telling you that there are Judaizers among these people trying to convert them to Judaism. He's trying to keep people away from the oral law of the Jews. And by the way, we have it today. People come out of Christianity and the first place they want to go is into Judaism, because they think, well, the Jews know more about it than we do. No, actually they don't. They know less than what Christians know.
Yes.
They know less. So there we have a good example, and you can look at that in the King James and see it even here. You got to get a King James Plus, a really good one, or an ABP Plus, and see that law and the law is used together in that verse. And then if you apply that principle to everything that Paul was teaching, you're going to get the idea. He doesn't want you in religion. He wants you in kingdom.
But that was the whole message that Yeshua came with the Pharisees. Remember, Judaism was the main religion of that time.
Right.
They had different sects.
Right.
Pharisees, Sadducees, and we don't learn anything about the essence. But the essence was much bigger than the both.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of Gnosticism, and
yeah.
Yahweh didn't find it good to tell us about it, so it's not important.
Yeah. Well, we need to wrap this up, so I'm going to, I'll have a final word, and Rick, and you can have a final word, and then we'll open this up for Midrash. The man who wrote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life. Okay? It's more than just you believe and you say it with your mouth, or that you listen to your preacher or your rabbi or your imam. It's more than that, because that same man wrote in 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Whoever loves the Father also loves the child who is born of him. So that's the Messiah that fulfills the John 3:16 passage, because you're born of God. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is loving God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They're not a burden. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Your faith, the way you walk, keeping the commandments, overcomes the world. That's why Revelation says, the woman who flees and escapes Satan will be one who has kept the commandments. And she will also have the testimony of Yeshua. John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Yeshua, the Son of God, is God in the flesh, and he came to fulfill the commandment that he made for himself. So when people say that he fulfilled the law, they're right, because they don't understand what law it was that he fulfilled. He made a law and a commandment for himself in Genesis 15 that he had to fulfill. And he had to fulfill it because it was broken. The law of God was broken, so now he has to come back and restore Israel, but only through his death, because he said that's how Israel would be restored. So Israel still has the same set of commandments today and immediately after his resurrection until today that was given to them at Mount Sinai. It's the same set of commandments, folks. This is your government. This is the order of Melchizedek government that we're talking about here. That's the commandment that he fulfilled. That's the law he fulfilled. He didn't walk perfectly in the law so that we could just go ahead and do whatever we want.
Right, right.
Okay, Rick, last word.
So what I was saying earlier is that with all this that we've been saying, if we don't do this with love, and that love is the action, the feat of what the scriptures say, and that's from Genesis to Revelation.
Right.
If we're not doing this stuff, because when Yeshua said that he's going to say one day, depart from me because I never knew you, because they're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name? Paraphrase. Or do that, or go to the sick, or heal, or raise people from the dead. Did we not do all that in your name? Well, yeah, you did, but you didn't do it with your heart. You did it because it was a checklist. I did this, I did this, and I did this. If we're not demonstrating love, and that's back to the earlier example, if we pass somebody outside the road and we could help them, and we say, oh, we love you, and we just drive off, leaving them there with a flat tire and a kid in her hand and a baby that she's holding, and we're not helping, that's not love. We have to show the love and compassion that Yeshua showed us. He said that he loved us before we loved him. So it's not just a feeling, it's an action, and we have to go along those lines. Yes, the Torah seems like hard, rigid things, but if you look at the entirety of it all, it's about the guidelines he set for our lives. So if we don't follow the guidelines, we're going over the cliff. We're not going to make it to the kingdom.
Right.
And that's what this whole thing is about.
Yaakov, last word.
that guidelines, I mean, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit keeps you on that guidelines. If you love God and you start to do the weightier matters,
mm-hmm.
for a fact. And again, that's why I love James, because he says, just preaching is nothing.
Right.
But preaching with action.
Right.
So the Torah is sort of, you get different kinds of people. I'm a physical people. I want to touch the chair. I want to sit in a chair. I want to see the chair. I want to know what I'm doing, and I want it on black and white. That is what the Torah is. It's a black and white guideline of what God is expecting.
Right.
Now the Holy Spirit takes that guidelines, and he teaches you the multitude of things that a lot of Christian teachers actually have correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because only this last generation, the Christian church really went downhill. But if you speak to older folks, even some of them will tell you, but we keep Sabbath on a Saturday. And they were not Seventh-day Adventists.
Mm-hmm.
And there's documents of it. And most Christians keep basically all the laws in the Bible. In Deuteronomy, from Exodus to maybe one or two, a misunderstanding of the Sabbath. But if they have a Sunday Sabbath, they keep them like the Bible says. And that's where mercy and understanding comes in. But there's a prophecy about the people keeping the law today. And I'm going to finish with this. Deuteronomy chapter 30 from verse 1.
That's a good one.
Repentance and forgiveness. So, and it shall be, when all these things has come on you, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before you. And when you shall come, when you shall call them to mind among all the nations where Jehovah your God has driven you, and shall return to Jehovah your God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your sons with all your hearts and with all your souls, then Jehovah your God will turn your captivity, and he will have compassion on you, and will return and gather you from all the nations where Jehovah your God has scattered you. If you are driven out into the outmost part of the heavens, Jehovah your God will gather you from there, and will bring you from there. And Jehovah your God will bring you into the land which your father possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will do good and multiply you above your fathers. And Jehovah your God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your seed, to love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. And Jehovah your God will put all these curses on your enemies, and on those that hate you, who persecute you. And you shall return and obey the voice of Jehovah, and do all these commandments which I command you today. Now people, you know we come to Jerusalem 3 times a year. This is not for Jews. They do not keep God's commandments.
Right.
So if they do not keep it, somebody has to, because this prophecy needs to be fulfilled.
Yes, yes.
And that is the main motive, except for everything else, why we stick to the commandments of God. We know we break them. We ask for repentance, forgiveness. And we know, I mean, in my life currently, the weightier matters we read about earlier, about the orphans and the widows, I'm not in a position to do that. But I am in a position to study my Bible and to... You guys know we are busy with infrastructure, farming, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
We are not sure what's coming, but we know we're getting prepared.
Yep.
But we walk the Torah out the best we can.
Yep.
And if you do this without love, we've been there. One of the things when you get on the Torah path is you start to see black and white commandments, law, 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 and you start to force it on everybody else. No, there's no love in it. It's useless. But when you start to learn, and this you have to study the New Testament to get the perspective of love into this. The Old Testament without the New Testament is dead. It's empty. But when you bring the New Testament in and you then study the law again, Yeshua makes sense, Paul makes sense, John, Peter, all of them make sense. And then your spiritual growth takes an exponential ramp up like I cannot even explain.
Yes, that's true. So, what we do is we do the commandments that shows love, not because we have the feeling of love. We're not required to have the feeling. And I can tell you that doing the commandments to people, you know, helping them, and it makes your heart grow warm toward them. It's an interesting thing.